Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Psalm 85, the revival psalm. Some of you will learn that the nearer you get to the anointing, the better. There's always these empty chairs there. They're getting more anointed than some of you are. Right, verse 12. The Lord will indeed give what is good, that's abundance, and the land will yield its harvest, that's harvest. Now, God has been getting us ready for abundance and harvest. He wants us to enter into this, see it increasingly evidenced, both in our personal lives and corporately. Now, he's preparing the way for that. In a sense, it started, but there's still much he's doing in us so that we see more and more. Now, 10 days ago, on Saturday evening at the conference, he talked to us through the letter to the Church of Laodicea in Revelation chapter 3, and particularly those three things: buy from me gold refined in the fire. That suggests purification. White robes to wear, which suggests the purity that the purification has brought about. And salve for your eyes, and we saw that the word there really means not just an ointment for the eyes, but a poultice that will get everything negative, evil, wrong out of our vision, both spiritually and physically, so that we can see the purposes of God. Now, if we look here in Psalm 85 at verse 13, which follows verse 12, that's not the greatest revelation you will receive all morning, but it is nevertheless significant, because the Lord talks of what is good, the abundance, talks of the harvest, and then he talks about how the way for that will be prepared. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. This morning we're going to talk about righteousness. First of all, what is righteousness? We're not going to spend too long on that. And then we're going to spend longer talking about how we live in righteousness, because that is what the Lord is really concerned about. Now, we know that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, we have been made righteous. It's difficult, actually, to put that easily into English. It means we have been put right with God, but, you know, what does that mean? It means we've been justified, which is what it means to be put right with God. In my translation, I'm using the word, or the two words, totally accepted. That we have been made totally acceptable to God. That's what righteousness is. Because he is righteous, those who are made righteous are made totally acceptable. I'm using that phrase because I think it just sort of comes home a bit more. It's a bit more practical, if you see what I mean. People can relate to that. So, we have been made totally acceptable. Now, that's our position, if you like, because we're in Christ, because we're washed with the blood of Jesus. We are made right, we are justified, we are made totally acceptable in God's sight. That's nothing that we could have done for ourselves. It's only what he has accomplished for us through the cross. Somebody say hallelujah. So you can't make yourself more acceptable than you are in Christ. So the scripture says the righteous or the just, those who are justified, the righteous or the just shall live by faith. And the place where that faith begins is by believing that we have already been made totally acceptable to God. Hello? Now, we are to walk in righteousness. We are to live in righteousness. You could say, therefore, we are to live in right relationship with God. We are to live as those who have been justified. We are to live as those who have been totally accepted by God. Now, all these are nice-sounding phrases, but let's get really practical and real as to what this is going to mean in experience. What does it mean to live day by day in righteousness? Well, if you're making notes, write this down. Righteousness is doing what God says when he says it and how he tells you to do it. Righteousness is doing what God says, when God says, how God says. What God says, come on, let's say these three things together. What God says, when God says, how God says. That's righteousness. Righteousness isn't any one or two of those three, it's all three together as a package. So God is concerned that we do what he says. Now, that means that our lives will be the outworking of his word, but not just in slavish legalistic obedience, but under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, who will remind us what Jesus says and make us able to do what the Word of God says we're to do. So we're to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, strength. The Holy Spirit gives us the Father's love for the Son, which enables us to love God in that way. Without depending upon the love of the Holy Spirit, we could not possibly love God, love our neighbor, love one another in the way that God intends. But it's no use knowing what God wants unless we know when he wants to do it. Now, when God issues a command, it is for instant obedience. When God commands something, to delay is to say no. Because you're really saying, well, no, not at present, Lord. Now, he can give promises that relate to the future, but not commands. When God commands, it is for instant obedience. If he tells us to go, we go. If he says come, we come. If he says do this, we do it. Even the Roman centurion understood that that's how you have to respond to authority. And Jesus' authority is much greater than the authority of any Roman soldier. Anybody at the same meeting that I'm at this morning? Okay, so we need to know what to do. We need to know when to do it. If it's a command, we do it immediately. If God is telling us to put certain things in place, and then we are to do something, then we are to put those things in place so that we are then free to do the thing that is going to come out of the immediate obedience. If God is telling us something in relation to the future, then we're ready for it. So you see, he says that he is coming again, and we're told in Scripture to be ready for that every day. Some of you may have heard me say before of a wonderful old saint, wonderful lady, 85, who was in a parish where I was serving as an Anglican minister. And she said, every night I get down on my knees, even though she was 85, I get down on my knees by my bed, and I make sure I'm ready. Because when you get to my age, you know that when you wake up, it may not be in this world. She said, every night, I make sure I'm ready. So that if the Lord takes me in the night, I'm ready. But you see, what the Scripture says is we should all be praying like that. No matter what our age. Because Jesus could come back again today. Amen. At least we're told to live as if he could come back today. So we all need to be ready. And of course, the best way to be ready is to be in the place of obedience. So that you know there are no outstanding issues between God and yourself. There's been no prevarication, no delaying tactics when God is impressing upon you his word. You see, when I say that righteousness is doing what God wants, that's only another way of saying it's doing his will. So the Holy Spirit and the Word working together speak to us, make it clear what God's will is. So you see, when he spoke to us last Saturday week, 10 days ago, about that word from Isaiah, we were to, from Revelation, we were to react immediately. We were to respond immediately. So you see, the question is, have you been buying from him gold since that evening? Because it's a command. Buy from me gold. It's a command. Hello? Buy from me those white clothes. Buy from me that salve for your eyes. Hello? This is what he was saying 10 days ago. So he's sort of following that up now. It's a sort of checkout morning, see how we're getting on. So he says, right, well now, that was a process of purification to bring us back to righteousness. Are you now living in that righteousness? Are you doing what I'm saying day by day? Uh-huh. Now, in this whole business of doing the will of God, we can't say, well, Lord, I'll do what you say in this area of my life so long as I can do what I want in that area of my life. Because this is what Jesus was talking about when he said, if anyone's going to be my disciple, if anyone's going to follow me, he'll have to deny himself, take up his cross and come with me. In other words, we are committed to doing the will of God, not what we want, but what he wants. I don't know if I heard many amens of that, but That's what it's about, isn't it? Righteousness is doing what he wants. Similarly, unrighteousness, you see, is doing what he doesn't want. So it's no use saying, well, I'll do what you want in some areas of my life, but I won't do what you want in all areas of my life. See, some Christians want to come to a kind of a compromise, a working agreement with God. Well, I'll give you so much of my life so long as I can hold on to certain aspects of myself for myself. And God says, nothing doing. I paid the price with my blood for all that you are and all that you have. Everything is mine. You see, you don't have a right to a day off. Hello? Not with God, you don't. As some of you know, to your cost. You see, we get upset if we don't get a day off, if we think we are owed a day off. By the way, the word says 6 days shall you labor, not five. Just thought I'd slip that in. So if you only work a 5-day week, you owe Kingdom Faith 52 days. So don't tell us we owe you something, you owe us something. Or you owe the Lord something, depending on how you look at it. But you see, we don't look at our lives legalistically like that. You don't say, well, it's not in my contract. God couldn't care tuppence what's in your contract. He says, if you are living by your contract, you're living by law and not in obedience. Hello? You can't put obedience to the Lord in a contract. You can't put the willingness of the heart in a contract. You can't put heart attitudes. You can't put the work of the Spirit into the contract. Hello? A contract spells out legal minimums or whatever. But it's got nothing to do with the work of the Spirit in our lives. It's not a question of doing more. I'm not talking about that. It's a question of always being available to do what God wants. And that may be inside your normal working hours, it may be outside your working hours. God is no respecter of working hours. Let me tell you that from long experience. What he tests is the heart to see whether we are ready and willing to do whatever he says whenever he tells us to do it. It's what he says when he says. So you can never say to the Spirit of God, wait a minute, Lord, that's outside my contract. Or it's not working hours, I knock off at five. Now, I mean, I know you know all this stuff, and it's obvious, but I'm talking about attitudes of heart. Oh, well, I was looking to a nice quiet evening for myself just to put my feet up and watch a vid. And then along comes the Lord with them. There's this person to go and love and visit and help. And boom, God doesn't care about your evening with the vid. Because he knows it's going to serve his kingdom purposes more for you to be where he wants you when he wants you there than just to be putting your feet up. Now, God does understand our need to rest, which is why you get some. He did invent sleep because he knew we would need it. But often the things that make us tired are not the things he asks us to do, but the way we spend the rest of the time instead of resting and getting all refreshed and ready for his purposes. We can stay up late and talk and do this, that, and the other, and then wonder why we're tired the following day, saying, oh, I can't keep up the pace. But wait a minute. God always gives us the right pace. He says, take no thought for tomorrow. Each day has enough cares of its own. In other words, God works out the right agenda for each of us day by day. Don't worry about tomorrow's agenda because you've got enough on your hands today. But God won't require you to have more than enough. I'm talking to myself here. More than enough. Amen. He's in charge of the timetable. And the timetable tells you what to do and when to do it. So he's in charge of the timetable. What's the spiritual principle? Always available. Always available. That was a lesson. One of the first lessons we learned about the life of the Holy Spirit when I was in Luton. We had worship there. I mean, we were sort of forging away, really, in the new forms of charismatic worship. And we had very, very, very good three sisters, actually, who sang and led worship. And they were on television and all this kind of stuff. They were good. And they wrote songs, and sometimes they would have solo songs available and all the rest of it. And so being of that standard, you know, they like to be well-practiced, well-rehearsed. But we understood this. If they had a number ready, then it was available. And every Sunday evening when we had this sort of big service where people came from everywhere, they were ready, but they knew that we might not use it. It's not right. I can remember once they had this tremendous song. They had to wait 5 weeks to get it on. But they weren't disappointed. They never said, oh, you should have used our song. We were all rehearsed. We were all ready. It's a great new song. 5 weeks it took to get it on. 5 weeks until it was the right moment. 5 weeks until when the Spirit said, now you need that song. It would have just have been a song otherwise. But when the Lord chose to use it, it actually helped to release something of the Spirit into the meeting. But the point I want to make is this: I am ready and available. I'm ready and available for the will of God, whatever that might be. I'm ready, Lord, to go and to do whatever you say, whenever you say it. And God wants us, you see, to be in the place where when he tells us to do something, there isn't an argument. There's not a debate. There's not a delay. Hello? Because, you see, he is the Lord, and the Lord commands. Can you think of anywhere in the Gospels where Jesus ever asked the disciples to do anything? If you look closely at the scripture, you will see that Jesus never asked any of his disciples to do anything. He always commanded them. Never asked them, he always commanded them. Whenever he gave them direction, it was always a command. It was never, would you mind doing such and such, please? It was a command. And my experience of the Lord is that he has not changed. And in fact, that is an indispensable tenet of our theology, that God cannot, by definition, change. So he still speaks to us with command. When he wants you to do something, he commands it. And because he commands it, it requires instant obedience to what he's saying. Okay, now we come to the third key element in this. Because doing the will of God is doing what he says, when he says it, but also how. Now, this is the part where a lot of Christians go wrong. Because they hear something from God, and then they want to go and do it in their way. Now, you know, I've been a boss for many years in that sense. I've had lots of secretaries working for me. This is not speaking about anybody present, let me tell you, but I just want to make a point. Sometimes there have been times when I've asked one of my secretaries to do something. I've said, do so and so and so and so. And then I say, this is how I want you to do it. Boom, ba, boom, ba, boom, ba, boom. A little while later, I discover they've sort of done what I said, but they've done it in an entirely different way to what I said, to what I told them to do. And whenever I've questioned them about this, they've always said, oh, well, I thought it would be better to do it this way. And I've said, but I didn't tell you to do it that way. I told you to do it this way. Ah, but I thought that way was much better. Now, why do they think that? Well, perhaps for all kinds of reasons. But you see, if I tell somebody to do something in a particular way, I probably have a whole lot of information that I haven't told my secretary. Because I don't have time to explain, look, I want you to do it this way, and this is why I want you to do it this way. All I want is for the person to do it this way. Now, you see, that same principle can be translated the way we deal with God. We think we know better about how to do something. So we do it our way, and God said, well, wait a minute, I never told you to do it that way. Oh, Lord, I thought that was the best way to do it, but it's not what I said. Well, Lord, I didn't understand why I should do it the way you said. That was because he didn't give us all the information. But he only gave us the information we needed to do what he said in the way in which he wanted it done. Have I made the point? You see, you will never understand the whole purposes of God, will you? All you have to understand is the part that he's asking you to play. You just have to do what he says, and he knows the ramifications of that. And that if you don't do it in the way he says, then you're probably going to mess up the whole thing. So this is where the Holy Spirit comes in. You see, the Word of God tells us what to do. The Spirit tells us how to do it in that situation. Do I have anybody here this morning? I mean, are you listening? On Saturday, I did a teaching day for some of our leaders down in the Southwest in Wiltshire. all around that area. And God led me to do something, actually, I don't know that I've ever done quite like this before. He said, I want you to tell them how to run a church. Now, I've often talked about leadership and the responsibility of leadership in the church, but how actually to run a church. And that's because last week, you know, there were two different situations. One I told you a little bit about, where people had got in a mess in the way in which they were leading the church because they were trying to lead the church by prophecies. You can never lead a church by prophecies. Why? Because our prophecies are imperfect. And what does Jesus say about the Spirit of God? He reminds us of what Jesus has said and done. You lead a church by the Word of God. It's the Word of God that tells you what to do. The Holy Spirit gives you the strategy. That's why you need to listen to the Spirit when you're in leadership, whatever you're leading. But especially if you're leading a church, the Holy Spirit will give you the strategy, but he won't tell you what to do. That is in the Word. He will remind you of the Word. But you see, whatever the Spirit says never disagrees with the Word of God. So these flakes that just want to receive one prophecy after another, the church never has any direction. It never actually fulfills any purpose, because their purpose is to listen to the next prophecy. Now, prophecy is important if it's used in the right way. We'll have some prophetic words here this morning. Could have said hallelujah, which would have been encouraging to the preacher, but never mind. We'll have them anyway. But you see, this is where these people that sit around, not just church leaders, but any Christian, sits around waiting for a word from God. And this is a true story. I heard of a pastor who went to visit one of his flock, a man who was living on his own. I would imagine if he'd married, his wife had probably left him. You'd see why when you hear the rest of the story. But his house was in total, utter chaos and confusion. It was dirty everywhere. There were piles and piles of dirty plates in the kitchen. It was a mess. And here was this man sitting in his armchair in the middle of all this mess, reading his Bible and praying when the pastor went. And you see, the pastor said to him, what do you think you're doing? Your place is in such a mess. To which he said, the Lord has not told me to clear it up yet. Now, it's quite obvious he'd never been to Roffey for room inspection because he wouldn't have survived. Nor had he ever been in the army. But you see, that is super spirituality at its worst. I'm not going to do anything till I have this prophetic word from God telling me to do it. Now, we laugh at that because it is so ridiculous. But actually, many Christians, if not most Christians, do that kind of thing in some area of their life. Why? Because God has spoken to them something that they don't want to hear. So they will wait upon him to hear something different. Hello? And they wonder why they have to wait so long for something different, because actually he hasn't got anything different to say. Who knows, God doesn't change his mind. You see, it's for us to come back, to repent. Repent is a change of mind. God doesn't need to repent. So it's for us to change our minds and to come in line with what he wants. So the Holy Spirit is important in this whole process, because the Holy Spirit will show us how to do something and will therefore actually enable it. But he will only enable it when we're doing it his way and not our way. Have you ever been in the middle of doing something and you suddenly realize there's no anointing on what you're doing? Hello? There's just no anointing on it. And it's an uncomfortable feeling, isn't it? Because you're suddenly aware, wait a minute, I've stepped out of the will of God. Perhaps not deliberately, but I feel lonely. I'm on my own here. God isn't owning what I'm doing. Or he's certainly not owning the way I'm doing it. So what do you do in such a situation? What do you stop? And you come back to him, you say, Lord, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? Now, I praise God that we can have this inner witness of the Spirit, that there's peace and encouragement and strength when you know that you are doing something right, but you get this sort of, something not right. Even though you may not know what it is, you just know there's something not right here. It's what Wesley called the inner witness of the Spirit. One of the aspects of the outworking of the gift of the Spirit that Paul calls discerning of spirits. You can discern when the Spirit of God is at work. You can discern when you got out of the Spirit. The spirit of the flesh has taken over. So you might think this is not the most exciting keynote message we've had in recent weeks. But it doesn't have to be exciting. It only has to be the word of the Lord. Why? Because, you see, righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. So what is the word of the Lord to us this morning? I want you to do what I want, when I want, how I want. What's required of us then is those submissive hearts that desire to see that whole process outworked in our lives. But by the same token, we say no to what he doesn't want. Amen. And what's going to be the fruit of this? The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield the harvest.
Amen.
I often refer back to Luton, don't I? The reason for that is not because I live in the past, but because I learned so many of the principles by which the Spirit of God works in those days. And you see, here was a church, just an Anglican church, on the edge of a town, industrial town in the South Midlands. And that church impacted the nation. It had an influence literally all over the world. We never prayed for that. I don't think we ever believed God for that. We never actually wanted that. It happened. But those who belonged to that church, there was just one thing that concerned them. We want to do what God is telling us to do. We could leave the ramifications to him. How he chose to use that was up to him. But we learn this principle. We do what he wants, when he wants, as soon as he says, and in the way that he tells us to do it. So all we were doing is we were focused on what God wanted to do on that housing estate. Yeah. That was our focus. We just wanted to see people saved on that housing estate. Now, because we were concerned to outwork the will of God locally, he chose to use it nationally and internationally. That's what he did. We didn't do that. We didn't make that happen. It wasn't even part of our vision. We weren't like Kingdom Faith, where, yeah, we believe that we will make a difference to the nation and to the nations, because that's the call of God upon our life. There was none of that. There was just, well, let's this week do what God says. And you know, we would have all these visitors, and they would all and ah and say, what a wonderful move of God, what wonderful love, what wonderful this, what wonderful that. And you know, on the one hand, that was encouraging, but I said to the people, don't listen to all that stuff. Why not? Because we had to keep our focus on doing the next thing that God said. And we would easily get into cloud cuckoo land and think we were really something when we were nothing if we listened to all these things that other people said. Why? Because the move of God would stop if we stopped being obedient to what he was telling us to do in the immediate. So you see, this is why it's so good that the church here, everybody is getting active in fulfilling what God is telling us to do about going out and taking the kingdom of God here in Horsham. In the 25-mile radius. However God uses that on a wider scale, it's that obedience in the immediate that is the key. And so, in all of your lives, as you students, whatever it is, you see, if God is really to fulfill his purpose for having you here in the college, this is what he wants to build into your life. That you learn to be obedient. You learn to do what he says, when he says, and how he says. Why? Because then, of course, there's no limit to how he can use you in the future. No matter where he takes you, no matter what the nature of your ministry, he knows he can rely and depend upon you always to do what he says, when he says it, how he says it. Those are the people that he wants. Those are the kind of people that he wants. Those are the kind of people that he can use. Hallelujah. And you see, you don't have to worry about the fruitfulness. If you know you're doing what he says, when he says it, how he says it, you will be fruitful. You don't have to worry about the fruit. He will cause the fruitfulness. Otherwise, you know, you can get all up the twist because you're saying, am I being fruitful enough? That's a nonsensical sort of question. The question is, am I being obedient? Because if I'm being obedient, then I'll be fruitful. So God, listen to me, God is going to move powerfully through this nation. But righteousness will prepare the way for his steps. Now, there's a whole lot of unrighteousness in this land. There's a whole lot of unrighteousness in the church in this land. So what does God want? He wants a righteous people. That is where he will move. And it's through those righteous people that prepare the way for his steps that he will walk. It's through them that he will move to restore the land. That is where you're going to see the harvest. So are we such a people? Of course we are. Aren't we? Yes. Hallelujah. And this really is the simple thing that God has to work in every one of us. A greater desire for his will than for our own will. that were just ready to say, yes, Lord, no matter what the cost. Oh, Lord, isn't there any rest? I said, yes, in heaven. I mean, in heaven you can have a rest because you'll just be praising 24/7. If there's a time there, but I mean for all eternity you'll be praising God. But I think the difference in heaven is you won't get tired. Amen. Praise God. God does know we need rest. As my wife was reminding me yesterday. And so it's not saying, you know, that we're just to become workaholics, although I have been one for most of my life. But he knows our need to rest. He knows our need of quality time. But he knows how little or much of it we need. And it's never ours by right. It's ours by his gift. Amen. Let's all stand, shall we? Praise God. Now, I want you just to close your eyes. And the rest of this morning's meeting is going to be a little bit different. Because God is going to speak prophetically to a lot of people this morning. Not to replace his word, but to confirm his word. And to give you the strategy. You see, the word tells you what to do. The Holy Spirit gives you the strategy to do it. The how. So you need the word and the spirit. The word tells you what to do. The spirit gives you the strategy as to how to do it. So thank the Lord that you're a man or woman of the word. You believe the word of God. That the word of God is the foundation of your life. It's the rock on which you stand. But of course, it's only the rock if you do it. That's what Jesus said. The man that built upon the rock was the man who heard the word and did it. He put it into practice. So thank the Lord that the word is a rock that gives you a sure foundation because you are committed to doing the word. You are committed to obedience to God. Hallelujah. And this is not a legalistic obedience. It's obedience that comes out of your love for God. So just thank him right now. Thank you, Lord, that you have worked in my heart to give me this love for you so that I want to obey you. I want to do what you want, Lord. Now, can you tell the Lord that you want to do what he says over and above what you want for yourself? That you seek first the kingdom of God, that Jesus is Lord, that you submit all your own will, your desires and everything to his will. Can you do that right now? Just bring everything under his will. I place my life in your hands, Lord, to obey the will and purpose that you have for me. Now, can you tell the Lord that you want to be ready every day? You know, you're on the watch. You're ready, you're ready, you're ready. If Jesus was to come back today, it would be all right because you'd be doing the will of God today. If he was to come suddenly, unexpectedly, or if you were suddenly taken to be with the Lord, it's all right because you'd be right in the middle of doing the will of God. Hallelujah. Thank him for the grace. Thank you for the grace that's made that possible. Potoparazataria leraba karasitari sat. Now just pray that he give you the grace to instantly obey. You know, as soon as he commands, you will do it. There won't be this delay. There won't be prevarication. There won't be an argument. There won't be a debate about it. He won't have to wait several days while you think about it or assess whether it's to your advantage or not. But when he speaks, you do it. Hallelujah. Potaparazataria lerabakara sita balato. Boratapara. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Now just pray that you will be sensitive to the Holy Spirit so that he will give you the strategy. He will show you how to put the Word of God into practice. How to obey in every particular situation. That you would do it in his strength, in his anointing, in his empowering, not in your own way. That you won't try to fulfill God's purpose in the flesh, but you will depend upon the resources of the Spirit who lives within you. Come on now. Just really pray that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you have given us your Spirit. Now, Lord, please give us the grace to do things the way you say, even when we don't understand why it's necessary to do it that way. Because we might only have part of the picture. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you, that if we do it the way you say, it's going to be good. The outcome is going to be fruitful, both for us and for the body. Hallelujah. Sato pokora zoturi sararaba karasita. Boro tobara zatari eleraba karasitri sato pokara sitri sandama. Boro tobara zatari eleraba karasitri sato. Now, Lord, it's great to have this vision of what you want to do in the 25-mile radius in the nation and among the nations. And we thank you for your call upon Kingdom Faith in that regard. But, Lord, we want to be faithful in the little things. Because your word says if we prove faithful in the little things, you will put us in charge of much. So, Lord, I just pray for every one of us here. Pray for everybody connected with Kingdom Faith. That today we will be obedient in doing the things you put before us today. That wherever people in the church are, at work, at home, at school, at college, they will be obedient to what you are saying today by your word and through your Spirit. So we will prepare the way for your steps. And we thank you, Lord, that we will have everything that is good and the land will yield its harvest. As we prepare the way for you in righteousness, we prepare the way for your steps. Oh, Lord, that is so wonderful to know that you are going to be walking amongst us. You're going to be moving amongst us. You're going to be doing greater and greater and greater things amongst us. Not just in the church, but wherever we go as the church. And we bless you, we praise you, we exalt you, Lord. Poto parazata parazatari eletuba. Barata parazatari eleraba karasitri satuba. Barata parazatari eleraba karasitri satuba. Barata parazatari eleraba karasitri satuba karasitri sandana. Ombra zatari eleraba karasitri satori eleraba karasitri sandana. Boroto parazatari eleraba karasitri satu pokolosundana. Yes. Okay, now I want you to be very still and quiet before the Lord, because we're going to pray now that the Holy Spirit will bring to mind any command that He has given any one of us personally that is outstanding, that we haven't yet obeyed. Just pray now that He will bring that to mind, something that He's told you you are to do, but you haven't done it. You've been pushing it away, you've been delaying. Now, He's not condemning you, He's not beating you and scolding you. He doesn't work like that. But He's speaking to you the way He is this morning, so that now you can obey that command. There may be just little things. For one or two of you, there may be more significant things. But just agree with Him now that you're going to do those things now. Just as soon as it is practically possible to do them. You're not going to delay anymore. You're not going to push His word away anymore. See, this is the Holy Spirit reminding you of what Jesus has said. It may simply be that when you were praying in recent days, God quickened a scripture to you, came alive for you, spoke directly, personally to you, but you haven't done anything about it in terms of really responding and bringing your life, your heart in line with that word. So thank Him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now thank Him that you're not motivated by a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Thank you, Lord. See, this is a prophetic time where God is speaking to you personally. He's just saying to me that some of you are concerned about the future, and the Lord is saying to you, just be concerned to obey me in the present, and I will open up the future. Just do what I'm telling you to do now, and you can leave the future in my hands. In other words, the Lord will lead you step by step into what He has for you in the future. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. What a mighty God we serve. Now finally, just thank the Lord that you're going to be fruitful. That in order to be fruitful, all you've got to do is to do what he says, when he says, and how he says it. What, when, and how. That's all you've got to do, and you will be fruitful. And thank him that it's going to be fruit that will last, and thank him that it's going to be abundant fruit. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, something's happening here. God's releasing something. Now, I want you to thank the Lord that you have just taken ground away from the enemy. Because whenever there's disobedience in our lives, that gives ground upon which the enemy can stand. So just thank the Lord that there's no ground in your life on which the enemy can stand. Hallelujah. There's no cause for him to accuse you whatsoever. Come on, thank him that you're liberated, you are freed. Oh, hallelujah. The enemy hates obedience. Ho ho! But Jesus loves it. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Now, Susie and Jen are going off to Mitcham today for 6 weeks. Oh, you're going Friday. I was going to pray for you. Well, we'll pray for you on Friday then, okay. Praise God. Is everybody happy?
Yes.
Come on, let's just rejoice and thank the Lord then. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Yes!
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.